This summer we're learning the last two prakim of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and they are packed with a lot of wonderful sugyas, as much of Shas is packed, but here is especially concentrated. Today's Chabura is probably one of my favorite Chidushei Torah of all times. And the reason why that's the case is because it was first, this Chiddush that we're going to say today was first shared with me by Rav Mordechai Kalbach over about 10 years ago. And it was the first Chiddush he had ever told me, and it was a tremendous Chiddush then, and still a tremendous Chiddush now. And then years later, when I was learning Yevamos with my father Bechavrusa, he also told me the exact same Chiddush. So it must be Emes. If two great Tzadikim, Tamine Chachamim, have the same Chiddush, it must be correct. So let's go like this. We just learned in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the very first Amud of the third Perek, we learn what the Gemara says about Gemar Din. The Gemara tells us that Tchilas Din has to be Bayom, Gemar Din has to be, can even be Balayla. And the question is, why is that the case? So really, the sugya begins not here in Rosh Hashanah. The sugya really dates back to Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Daled, where the Gemara asks a stira between two different psukim. The Gemara says that we have a pasuk in Parshas Yisro which says, V'shaftu es ha'am mechal eis, which seems to indicate that you can do a din Torah. V'shaftu es ha'am is talking to the Dayanim, who are adjudicating any din Torah. So seemingly we're told, mechal eis means, Bayom v'alayla, you're allowed to have a din Torah, whether it's the day or at night. Meanwhile, in Parshas Kisetze, the pasuk says, "V'haya biyom hanchilo es banav." And from here, the Gemara learns that you're only allowed to have a din Torah of dinei mamonos by yom, because it says, "V'haya biyom hanchilo es banav." When you're trying to figure out how to split up the yerusha, how to deal with the dinei mamonos aspect at the end of a person's life, so that has to be biyom; it has to be during the day. So the Gemara asks, when do we have a din Torah? Is it only biyom, or is it even balayla? Is it b'chol eis, or is it only biyom hanchilo? So that's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara answers there in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Daled, that the answer is that a tchilas din has to be beyom, the beginning of the court case when everybody adjourns, when they sit down together to figure out all the details of the case, that has to be during the day. But the Gemara din, when they issue the psak, that can be even balayla. That's the way the Gemara answers why one pasuk says, b'chol eis, even balayla, that's referring to the Gemara din, and the other pasuk says, it has to be only beyom. Now, the simple way to understand this is that it's a gzeres hakasuv. The same way the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah Daf Chaf, that we have certain mitzvahs that could only be performed by Yom. For example, Shofar, Lulav, Tefillin, or Megillah. All the cases that the Gemara there, that the Mishnah gives in Megillah Daf Chaf, are mitzvahs that have to be by Yom, and it's learned out from particular psukim. So too over here, I would have said that the mitzvah of having a din Torah is Exeris HaKasuv, B'yom Hanchilu Hasbana, where we learn that it only can be done by Yom. And here we have a Gzeres HaKasuv that says, B'chol Eis, that the Gemara Din can be Balayla. So I would say, just on the simple level, that's what the Halacha is. Gzeres HaKasuv teaches me one way that the beginning of a case has to be Bayom. Gzeres HaKasuv teaches me the other way that the Gemara Din can even be Balayla. That's what I would have said. However, if you look carefully in the Ran and Ara Sugya, here in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Hei, the Ran clearly states that that is not the case. This is not only a Gzeres HaKasuv that says, well, Lulav can only be Bayom, so Gemara Din, I'm sorry, the Din Torah can also only be Bayom. That's not what it means here. Says the Ran as follows. The Ran tells us that you're incorrect in your understanding. Not only does the Tchilas Din have to be Bayom, the Gemara Din also has to be Bayom, says the Ran. What do you mean? Tchilas Din and Gemara Din have to be Bayom? Isn't that against the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Daled? The Gemara says, we have a stirim sukim. One pasuk says, b'chol eis, you're allowed to have a din Torah by yom of alayla. Other pasuk says, it has to be dafka b'yom hanchilo hasbanav. The Gemara answers, tchilas din is b'yom, Gemara din is b'alayla. So what does the Ran mean here, that Gemara din also is to be b'yom? Says the Ran as follows, listen carefully to what he says. Kula milsa basar tchilas din shadinanla, says the Ran. The entire din Torah that we're having here is basar tchilas din shadinala. Now that we're having the Gemara Din, now that we're issuing the Psak, since we were working on this the whole day, since we were all bothered and working on all the details of the story the whole day, and the whole Din Torah began by Yom in the daylight hours. Therefore, says the Ran, this is just a continuation of Yom. This is just a continuation of Yom. Even if I look out the window and I see it's pitch dark outside, it's Tesar Kachavim already, it's certainly Laila already, we already daven Maariv, still, says the Ran, the reason why a Gemara Din could be Balaila is because it's just a hemshech, it's a continuation of everything that took place during the day. But really, the Ran says, the Gemara Din has to be Bayom also. That's the Ran's understanding. The Gemara Din has to be Bayom also, and therefore the Ran says, the reason why Gemara Din can be, so to speak, Balayla in the nighttime hours is because it's just a hemshech, it's a continuation of the Yom. Now, This Ran, just on a simple level, is very hard to understand because it's not the simple understanding of the Gemara. But leaving that aside, this that the Ran says that we have a different understanding of what it means Gemar Din could be done by Laila is extremely difficult because we seem to have a Gemara that indicates not so at all. The Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Kuf Dalet, and this is where my father told me the Chiddush when we learned Yevamos Daf Kuf Dalet together, this is where he told me, and we'll see as follows. The Gemara has in Yevamos Daf Kuf Dalet the following Machlokes HaTanaim. The Gemara says there, is one allowed to perform a chalitza balayla or not? So the Gemara says that's a disagreement, that's a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Lazar. The Chachamim say chalitza is kshera balayla. And Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion that chalitza cannot be performed balayla. Chalitza, as we know, is when a woman's husband passes away and she has no children, and there is a yavam, there's a brother of the husband, of the deceased, so we know that they have to perform chalitza or yibum. So the Gemara says, Chalitza, machlokes, whether it can be done by Laila. Chacham say yes. Rabbi Lazar says no. Why? The Gemara says, what's the point of disagreement here? So the Gemara tells us as follows. The Chachamim are of the opinion that Chalitza is like Gemar Din. Chalitza is like Gemar Din. And the same way Gemar Din, the same way the end of a Din Torah can be performed by Laila, so too Chalitza can be performed by Laila. And Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion that Chalitza is like Tchilas Din. And therefore he says, since you need to perform the beginning of a Din Torah by Yom, since Chalitza is considered like Tchilas Adin, therefore it also can only be performed by Yom, and you cannot have a Chalitza performed at night. Now, why should we assume it's like Tchilas Din or a Gemar Din? What does it have any connection at all? What's the connection between a Chalitza and a Tchilas Din or a Gemar Din? What do they have any correlation at all? So the Achronim have a great time trying to figure out what exactly the connection is. One example is Rabbi Yosef Engel, who always has something interesting to say, but here Rabbi Yosef Engel tells us something fascinating. He says, well, there's a big discussion as to what exactly the nature of the Isser Yevama Lashuk is. There's an Isser for a woman to go and marry any other man before she has Chalitza or Yibum. What is the nature of that Isser? Do we assume that the reason she's not allowed to go and marry somebody else is because she's still somewhat married to her first husband who passed away? And even though in Ishus Lachar Misa, what do you mean, the husband's not here, how can you say that there's a connection? There's some sort of connection that lingers, and until she takes care of the Chalitza or Yibam, it's as if she's still connected to her previous marriage. Is that the way to understand the Isser, Yevam Alashuk? Or do you assume it's totally different? Do you assume it's something new? Now that her husband passes away, obviously, in Ishus Lachar Misa, now their marriage has dissolved, their marriage is over, their husband's no longer in the picture. And now the Torah imposes a whole new Isser on her that she's not allowed to marry anyone else until she takes care of the Chalitza or Yibam. Well, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, maybe that's what they're disagreeing about here. Is Chalitza an act that's considered like Tchilas Din, like the beginning of a Din Torah, or is it like the Gemar Din? What's the Shaila? Says Rabbi Yosef Engel. Maybe it's based on the following. Do we assume that the Chalitza is the culmination of the marriage that she had 25 years ago with her husband, and now until we perform the Chalitza, now once we do the Chalitza, now it's over. So that's like the Gemar Din, and the same way Gemar Din can be done by Laila, so to the Chalitza can be done by Laila. Or do you say no? Chalitza is necessary because the Torah imposed a new Isser on the woman. Once the husband dies and you didn't have children with him, you're not allowed to marry anyone else. Not because you're still married to him. He's not alive anymore. You have no marriage to him at all. Ein ishus lacharisa. There's no connection. There's no relationship once he passes away. Rather, what the Gemara means to say is that the Torah is informing us that there's a new Isser that the Torah imposes on a person if they pass away, if the husband passed away without children. And therefore, says Rabbi Lazar, this is like Tchilas Din. We're starting up a new halacha, a new case here. Once the chalitza is performed, now we assume that that's a new halacha that's being taken care of, and therefore the Rabbi Lazar's opinion is that it's like Tchilas Din. Okay, it's a fancy pshat. Rabbi Yosef Engel always has fancy perushim. I don't think it's the pashup pshat, but it's a interesting one to consider nonetheless. And that's the way Rabbi Yosef Engel suggests as to what the understanding of the machlokas, Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim, is whether chalitza can be done by Laila, whether it's like Tchilas Din or like Sofa Din. Be it as it may, however you want to explain that machlokas, it seems to fly in the face of the Ran. Why? Because again, the Ran's understanding in our Gemara as to why we assume that the Gemar Din can be done by Laila is not the way we originally understood it. Says the Ran, why do I assume that a Gemar Din can be performed by Laila? The reason why, says the Ran, is because really it's just a hemshich, it's a continuation of everything that was going on by Yom. And since you started the Din Torah by Yom in the daylight hours, you may as well finish up the Gemar Din by Laila because that's like, it's still considered Yom. Which means essentially that really, the Ran is of the understanding, of the opinion, that Gemar Din can't be done by Laila either. It's just that this is considered like Yom because it's just a continuation. Well, then how do you understand that Gemara by Chalitza? Chalitza is not a whole long case. We don't go through all the papers, all the files. We're not having a whole Din Torah. What happens in that Gemara is, a woman comes before us at night. She sees three Dayanim sitting around in Mairuv. And she says to them, hey, my husband passed away. I need a Chalitza. I want to go get married to someone else. And I can't go ahead and get married until I get the Chalitza. Can we do it right now? This is the first we hear the case. Chachamim say, well, it's 9 o'clock at night. So what? What's the difference? It's only a chalitza anyway. It's like a gemar din, so what's the problem? So according to the Ran's understanding, that a gemar din really has to be performed by yom as well. It's just that we consider the laila to be like yom. Well, then you understand that gemara, why the chachamim assume that a chalitza can be performed by laila, even though nothing was started during the day. Clear? Questions clear? Any questions? So that's the question that is really bothersome on this opinion of the Ran and his understanding of what Gemara Din really is. Now, listen to the Chiddush, and this is so interesting. This is what my father suggested. This is what Rabbi Kalbach suggested as well in different contexts, but they both said the same shot in the Ran. What the Ran means to say is as follows. What the Ran means to tell us is as follows. That we have a halacha here that says, B'yom hanchilo esbanav. When you have it in Torah, it has to be B'yom. Doesn't mean that if three Dayanim sit down at night, they don't have a Torah's Bezdin. It doesn't mean they're not called a Bezdin. After all, we know it's true. If they're sitting all day long and downing in Torah, and they only get to the Psak Din 10, 11 o'clock at night, it's still considered a Psak Bezdin. So you see, they must have the characteristics of a Bezdin even by Laila. All the Torah means to teach us when it says, B'yom hanchilo es banav, that you can't have a Tchilas Yeshivas Bezdin by Yom, by Laila. Whenever you have a yeshiva's bezdin, whenever the bezdin comes together to adjourn, to get together, to sit down and begin a case, that's a gzeres hakasav, that is to be done by yom. However, they have the status of a bezdin even if something turns out to be balayla as well. It's just that they cannot be koveya, a yeshiva's bezdin, by yom. That's the chiddush that both of them suggested as to what's the difference between tchilas din and gemar din. Now, once we have this understanding in the Ran, now we can explain how the Ran is going to understand the Gemara and Yevamos. This disagreement between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, whether Chalitza can be performed by Laila, and whether Chalitza is considered like a Tchilas Din or a Gemara Din. Now, in order to appreciate that, let's just back up one more Hakdama, and then we'll put it all together. So there is a question as to, let's say, take for example, the mitzvah of Gerus. So we have, once in a while, you have a convert, person goes to classes, and whatever it is, now they're ready to convert. So we have a halacha, the Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Mem Zayin, the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Mem Vav as well. Tosus there points out that two different psukim teach us the very same halacha. Why do we need both psukim? Not really clear. But the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that you need a bezdin to be present when somebody goes into the mikvah to become a ger. And in fact, the Gemara says if somebody goes into the mikvah and they want to become a ger, and there's no bezdin present, they're not Jewish. You need the bezdin to be there at the time that the person goes to the mikvah. Now the question is, what exactly is the role of the bezdin in the gerus? What exactly are they doing? Are the bezdin the one that are performing a maisa bezdin? Is it that they have to accept the convert? They're the ones who are doing everything. Yeah, of course, he's going into the mikvah, not them. But it's only the bezdin that are able to effectuate, that are able to generate the gerus taking place, because they're the ones that have to infuse him with some sort of kedusha? Or is it no? Is it really that the person himself, the candidate for gerus, is the one who's performing the act? He's the one going to the mikvah. She's the one going to the mikvah. You're the one who's performing everything. It's just that there's a tnai, there's a built-in halacha that in order to perform the act properly, you have to do it in front of three people who consider themselves a bezdin. So the question is, basically, if you put it in simple terms, is it that this is a maisa bezdin, that they're the ones who are doing it, or is it just that it has to be bifnei bezdin? Is it that it's bezdin's act, or is it that it's my act that has to be performed in front of them? That's the question when it comes to a gerus. Take, for example, it seems to be a machlokas harishonim, machlokas balei atosis. Tosis writes in two different places, when describing what exactly happens by a gerus, Tosis is not really sure what takes place. In one place, Tosis writes in Sanhedrin, that whenever you have a gerus, both an adult and a young child who are megayer, we assume it's midin zachin, that the bezdin is mezaka the person. They say, well, now we are telling you that you can now become Jewish. They are being mezaka the person, which means we are the ones who are infusing you. We are endowing the kedusha into you. That's what it would seem. And Tosa says, ein zechiyah la'akum. We know there's no such thing as a nachri having zechus. So what exactly does that mean? So Tosfos says a chiddush on top of a chiddush. Not only do we say that it's a zechiyah, but also we say it's gerusa v'zechiyah sovan keechad. Everything happens at one time. However, you understand what that means. But Tosfos seems to understand that the Bezdin is the one who's doing everything. Tosfos in the other Masechta say, in Ksuvas Daf Yud Aleph, Tosfos there in Sanhedrin also vacillates about this, but basically Tosfos says in other places that no, the Ger is doing everything on his own. There's no Zechiah going on. I'm not giving him anything. The Bezdin is not infusing him with Kedusha. He is the one who's getting the Kedusha by going into the Mikvah. We're just innocent bystanders who have to be there in order to allow him to do what he has to do, but we're not really involved in the process. You take, for example, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Mem Vav that a ger is not allowed to be Megayer on Shabbos. Why is a ger not allowed to be Megayer on Shabbos? What's so bad? So you go into the mikvah. Don't we know a lot of men, a lot of women go to the mikvah on Shabbos? So why can't a ger go to the mikvah on Shabbos also and be Megayer? What would you say? What? No. The Gemara says because it's Tikkun Mana. The Gemara says Tikkun Mana. What's Tikkun Mana? I used to be a non-Jew. Now I'm perfecting my body. I'm becoming a Jew. So Givaldik, so now I'm Tikkun Mana. You're not allowed to become a Ger on Shabbos. The Rambam seems not to say like the Gemara. And the Kesem Mishnah already asked that the Rambam is connected to the Gemara. The Rambam says like you said. It's a Maisa Bezdin. What do you mean? How are you allowed to go into the mikvah? The Bezdin says you need to have a Bezdin here. How are you allowed to do that? So that's the question on the Rambam. Where does he get that from? The Kesem Mishnah has a major problem. Why should that be the case? Either way, let's take what our Gemara says. Our Gemara says simply, forgetting the Rambam for a minute, our Gemara says the reason why you're not allowed to be Megayer on Shabbos is because of Mesakin Mana. So ask the Stipler a very famous question. What do you mean? Who's the Isser of Tikkun Mana on? You're going to tell me I'm not allowed to go into the mikvah because it's an Isser of Mesakin Mana. What do you mean? Right now I'm a non-Jew. I'm not Mechuyev to keep Shabbos. So what are you going to tell me? I can't go into the mikvah because after I go into the mikvah, now I'm going to become Jewish and now it's going to be Mesakin Mana. By the time you're Jewish, you're not Mesakin Mana anymore. You did it already. So that's the Stipler's famous question, who's the Isser on? And what are you going to say? It's on the Bezdin? What are they doing? What's the Bezdin doing? So the Stipler says, well, you have to say that it's an Isser on the Bezdin. Isser on the Bezdin? What do you mean? What did the Bezdin do? So again, I believe this Stipler is really dependent on how you understand the role of what a Bezdin really is when it comes to a Geirus that takes place in their presence. If they are the ones who are infusing the Geir with the Kedusha after he goes into the Mikvah, then we assume, yes, in fact, you are violating the Isser of Tikkun Mana. Why? Because you are infusing someone with Kedusha. You are being Mesakin that person's body. Now he's no longer a non-Jew. Now he's a Jew. That's an Isser of Tikkun Mana on Shabbos. But if you assume that Bezdin is not involved in the process at all, Bezdin is just innocent bystanders who are necessary to be there while the person does everything on his own, then you're back to the Stipler's Kasha. Who's the Isser Tikkun Mana on the non-Jew? The non-Jew is doing everything on his own. What does the Bezdin have to do with anything? So what are you going to tell me? The Isser is on him? He's not Jewish. You can't tell me there's an Isser Shabbos on somebody who's not a Jew. He's not mechuyev to keep Shabbos at all. So I think you see it already from the Stipler that he's also having this issue exactly how to understand what the role of a Bezdin is when it comes to the mitzvah of Geirus. And the same, my father discusses, the same would be a question with regard to the role of a Bezdin when it comes to the mitzvah of Chalitza as well. We know that Chalitza has to be performed in front of a Bezdin. The question is, how many Dayanim do you need? Do you need three? Do you need five? But basically, it has to be done in front of a Bezdin. And the question is the same. What is the role of the Bezdin when it comes to the Chalitza? The man and the woman, the Yavam and the Yavam, are the ones who are doing all the act. Taking off the shoes, spitting, this, everything, all the psukim, they're the ones who are doing everything. There's a Bezdin who's standing there, watching everything happen. So is it that the Bezdin are the ones who watch the whole story, and then they say, well, now that you've performed everything that you did, now, mutilach, 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 we stamp you that you're allowed to go ahead and marry whoever you want. Are they the ones who are endowing her with a heter? Or is it that no? She does everything on her own with the Yavam. She is the one who endows herself with the heter by doing all the performance of the activity that the Torah prescribes. She's the one who gets the heter by doing everything she's supposed to do. Just there's a tanai, there's a din that the Torah said that whenever you go through the motions of a chalitza, it has to be performed in the presence of a bezdin. That's the basic question when it comes to a chalitza, the same way we had the question by a geirus. Now, take for example here as well. We're told in the Gemara Maseches Beitza Daf Lamed Zayin, you're not allowed to perform a chalitza on Shabbos. Why should that be the case? Why are you not allowed to perform a chalitza on Shabbos? So, guess again. He's not going to try. What? No. So, here it's the other way. The Gemara says in Beitza Daf Lamed Zayin, the reason you're not allowed to is because we have Gzeira Shema Yichtov. After the chalitza is performed, we have to write a document that says you're allowed to go and get married, we want it to be on file. So we're concerned They're not going to remember that, oh, we got to write it after Shabbos. Right away, they're going to sit down, oh, we did a chalitza, let's put it in the files, let's put it in the records. So therefore, we're concerned, maybe you're going to write the file, the shtar chalitza, so therefore, don't do it. The Yerushalmi says the reason why you're not allowed to perform a chalitza on Shabbos is because ain't done it. Because the same way a din Torah is not allowed to be performed on Shabbos, forgetting about this Isra of Gzera Shema Yichtov, Gzera far-fetched, maybe you're going to write on Shabbos. No! Ain't done in the same way you're not allowed to have a din Torah on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to have a chalitza on Shabbos. Makes a lot of sense. That's what the Yerushalmi says. So we have a machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi as to why exactly you're not allowed to have a chalitza on Shabbos, similar to the machlokas between the various, the Rambam and the Gemara, as to why we're not allowed to have a geiris performed on Shabbos. Very similar. Now, Rabbi Kalbach told me, what's this based on? This machlokas, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, when it comes to a chalitza, what's the crux of the issue? The crux of the issue is the same. What's the role of the Bez when it comes to a chalitza? Are they really active participants? They are performing a Maisa Bez, and we are the ones who are endowing her with the heter. Or do you assume no? She's giving herself the heter. By doing everything that she's supposed to do, she's giving herself the heter. Just, she has to do that in the presence of a Bezdin. That's the basic question when it comes to chalitza. That's the basic question when it comes to geris as well. So here, let's translate it back. If you assume that the Bezdin are the ones who are actually performing the Maisa Bezdin Maya Chalitza, we need them to put a stamp on the woman that says, now you're Merteris Lashuk, now you're allowed to marry whoever you want, you're the one who's in charge, you're the one, we're the ones who give you all the heter. Well, then you certainly understand why the Yerushalmi would say the reason you can't do it on Shabbos is because ain't done it. We're very involved in the process. That's like having a din Torah on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to have. On the other hand, if you assume, no, that the reason why that when we have a chalitza, the Bezdin are just innocent bystanders who have to just sign off on it after it's done, but it has to be done in the presence. That's why the Bavli says by us that the reason you cannot perform a chalitza on Shabbos is because Gzeres Shemayichto. We're concerned maybe the Bezdin, not that they're doing a Maisa Bezdin and that's like a violation of Ein Danin, but rather it's because the Bezdin were consumed that we're concerned that maybe they're going to write Gzeres Shemayichto afterward. Now, putting this all together, again, let's just review where we're up to and then it will fit beautifully. We have the Ran's interpretation of a Gemar Din. The Ran says, no, a Gemar Din, when our Gemara says a Gemar Din can be done by Laila, that doesn't mean what you think. It really means a Gemar Din has to be done by Yom as well. But what it means is that this is just a Hemshech of the Yom. This is just a continuation of the Yom. Aye, that Ran is very difficult to understand. How do you understand that Ran? So my father and Rabbi Kalbach both suggested that what the Ran really means to say is that you cannot have a Tchilas Kviyas Yeshivas Bezdin. You cannot have everybody come together and begin a case when it's Bayom. But if they already, when it's Balayla, but if they already started Bayom, they still have a Torah's Bezdin. We still have a Shem Bezdin. We still consider Dayanim, we're still considered a Bezdin, and therefore we can issue the Psak Balayla as well, even though the simple understanding would be that you're not really supposed to meet at night, but still we have a consideration, we still would be considered a Bezdin Balayla as well. We mentioned the Machlokas or Belezer and the Chachamim as to whether or not Chalitza is considered like Tchilas Din or like Gemar Din, and they were disagreeing as to whether or not you're allowed to have a Chalitza performed Balayla. According to the Ran's interpretation, we asked, how can that fit? How can you understand Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim? It's not like the Chalitza is a whole process and you go through it and you start by Yom. How does the Ran understand what Rabbi Elazar's opinion is? That it's like a Tchilas Din or a Gemar Din. How can that be? So the understanding is like this. If you go back to that Machlokas, the understanding is like this. Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that a Bezdin that performs a Chalitza, a Bezdin that watches a Chalitza, is that they are performing a Maisa Bezdin. They are active participants in the act of Chalitza. It's not just that they have to stand on the side and sign off on it. They are the ones who actually have to infuse the heter into the Yevama Lashuk after she performs the act that she's supposed to do. And therefore, if that's the case, then Chalitza has to be done by Yom, because you cannot have a Tchilas Yeshivas Bezdin by Yom. We need to adjourn together to figure out how we're going to do this Maisa Bezdin. We're very involved. And because we're very involved, therefore it has to be done by Yom. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, that the Chalitza can only be done by Yom because it's a Maisa Bezdin. A Maisa Bezdin can only be by Yom. The Chacham are of the opinion, no. The Bezdin, when they watch a Chalitza, are not actively involved. All the Bezdin does is they just have to watch what's happening, and it has to be done Bifnei HaBezdin. Not that it's a Maisa Bezdin, just Bifnei HaBezdin. What do you mean? By Laila, we have a Shem Bezdin as well. you see from the halacha of Gemar Din is kosher even balayla, right? Everyone understands where I'm going. You see from the halacha that you can have a Gemar Din even balayla. What you see from that is it indicates that we still have a Torah's Bezdin even balayla. That's what the Ram says in our sugya. We still have a Shem Bezdin even balayla. It's just that there's a separate issur that you're not allowed to have a Tchilas Yeshivas Bezdin balayla. But once the Bezdin already started adjudicating the case, once they already started dealing with all the issues, then we can continue and say they still have a Shem Bezdin. That's why they're allowed to issue the Psak at night. So the Chacham say, if we have a Shem Bezdin even balayla, then why should we be bothered? If a woman comes to us 10 o'clock at night after Maariv and she says, I want to do a Chalitza, and I will say, right now we have a Shem Bezdin, with no problem. We are the same Shem Bezdin we had this morning, same Shem Bezdin we'll have tomorrow. We don't have to do anything. It's not like a Maisa Bezdin that we're really involved. We just have to watch. Well, if we have the Shem Bezdin even balayla, why shouldn't we be able to do the Chalitza at night? So perhaps this is the understanding. Even if you learn like the Ran and Arsugya that has the Mechudashtik Pshat, that has the very interesting Pshat in what it means, Gemar Din is Kasher even balayla, this is the way the Ran perhaps would understand that Gemara in Yevamos, which seemed to go very much against him. Again, we began by saying that the Ran would be at odds with that Gemara. The Ran said the only reason why a Gemara Din is Kasher Balayla is because you started by Yom, and since you started by Yom, it's like considered a Hemshech of the Yom. Gemara Din also has to be done by Yom. In Cain, if that's the case, how do you understand the Gemara that says that Chalitza Balayla won't be Kasher according to Abelezer because it's like a Gemara Din? What do you mean it's like a Gemara Din? I'm sorry, what do you mean it's like a Tchilas Din? We weren't talking about this all day long. It's not like this is a long story that we already began during the day. So how do you understand this? The answer is that the Ram is really teaching us that the reason why a Gemara Din can be done by Laila is because we have a Shem Bezdin even by Laila. It's just that we cannot have a Kviyas Yeshivas Bezdin if it's not by Yom. And therefore over here, perhaps this is the understanding. If you assume that the Bezdin's role in a Chalitza is one that's an active role, it's like a Maisa Bezdin, we're the ones who have to do everything, we're infusing the Heter into her, we're imposing everything that we're supposed to do, then that would indicate that what? If we're the ones who are really involved, you'll say that's like a Tchilas Yeshivas Bezdin. That has to be done by Yom. But again, if you assume it's just Bifnei HaBezdin, not that they're actively involved, just they have to be active participants in watching what's happening, but not that they're infusing any Heter to her, just like by Geiris, perhaps the Bezdin is not really infusing any Kedusha into the Geir. He's doing it all on himself. So then you'll say, well, if the Ram teaches us that we can have a Shem Bezdin, even Balayla, then there's no reason why we wouldn't be able to do a Chalitza Balayla as well. Okay, there's a lot more